Continue with this. Y'all know we've been talking about the Holy Spirit now for weeks, and we're going through the spiritual gifts. And today we'll talk about the word of knowledge, and that we're just going to continue this track. The last Sunday, Thanksgiving is before the last Sunday of the month. We'll pause for a Thanksgiving worship time and celebration. Even the message will be built around that, and we'll be having communion in that service. So make a little room after you eat all that turkey and cake and pie for a little cup of juice and a little piece of bread, okay? And we're going to come here Thanksgiving weekend and celebrate what Jesus has done for us. So let's talk about the word of knowledge. We talked about the word of wisdom yesterday. And by the way, some of you know, and I don't mind you knowing, we're family, and that's why I take a few minutes to share before I preach. I want you to know what's going on in my world, and I don't get to sit down with each one, but I did go fishing. I got to fish 3.5 days this week in Mexico, and I did bring back enough for the next picnic fish fry. So I'm looking at Joel. If y'all don't get in line before he does, he'll eat half of them. I mean, but yeah, we had a good time. And the reason I bring them back is for you. I'm not even kidding you. We eat a little bit, but not much. And I tell you what, I have so much fun and some slinging grease and fish and serving you. It is just so much fun. So our next picnic, get ready. We're going to have fish fry again. So anyway, love you all. You are our family. So can't wait. I wanted to move the picnic up where we just go ahead and get it done. Praise the Lord. Well, it causes a story to come to my mind, or I don't know if many of you have been up to Roosevelt Lake. It's one of the largest lakes in Arizona, one of the Salt River chain. It's fed by the Salt River and the Tonto River. And it's really neat if you go up there and look at the dam on both sides, the lake side, and then you go to the other side where it's actually pumping in what used to be the Salt River, but now it's an additional lake there. And dams like that produce electrical power. It's not just that we get water there, we get power from those kind of reservoirs and those kind of dams. That's similar to what happens when we accept Christ. For there may be people here this morning, you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. Look, he saves and he forgives. And he forgives us of our sins. And he gives us the hope of eternity. And Josh, that's just what Spirit of the Lord said. Don't worry, Pops, it's all right. And I know you miss him. And you've lost a grandmother and a grandfather in a matter of a few months. But boy, I woke up this morning, and I'm still, my last 2 years of my mom's life, she was so ill, she couldn't go to church like she wanted to. So I always called her on the way, and I'm still, it's so fresh on me that I first thing I do when I sit in the car, I did it again this morning, I went, no. But you know, I said, she's with Jesus. She's with Jesus. But that's what happens when we begin to serve Christ and accept Christ in. The construction, listen to me, the construction of the reservoir is complete. If you've asked Christ into your heart, you're as saved as you're ever going to be. Now, you're going to grow and mature and learn and all those things. But you're either saved or not, right? So for those of you that gave your heart to Christ a few weeks ago, and for some of us that's been serving Christ 40 years, you're both saved. The reservoir is built. Once the reservoir is built and we've accepted Christ into our life, we have the potential to affect other people's lives for the kingdom of God and introduce them to the Savior. But now listen to me. But until the floodgates are open, because you know on the other side of the dam is where the water comes out. Until the floodgates are open with cascading waters and mighty waters flowing through them, there is no power realized. So it is with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We ask Christ into our heart and we're saved because of the work of the Spirit in our heart. But what we've known many years and some for the first time is there's an additional experience and there's a baptism of power that comes from the Holy Spirit. And there's all kind of gifts that comes with it. In fact, we can't be effective in serving God without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can try hard. We can do good. Acts 1 and 8 said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my, say it with me if you know it, witnesses. Power to be. Power to be. So when we open our lives up to Christ, we get saved. And then when we open up our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will begin to pour into us, but and then out through us. He's not going to leave you like a reservoir where water isn't flowing at all. So we need to open our minds and our hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all praying for lost loved ones that don't know Christ yet? Look around, and I am too. We need, and I pray for, I say, Holy Spirit, and I've got them all over the country, go get them. Send somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit, that's saved, the reservoir's been built, but they've opened the gates, therefore they'll open their mouth and their heart, and they'll begin to share Jesus under the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we become most effective. And it's an ongoing process. And let's just watch this quick video. I wish it was a little longer, but I like it anyway. It illustrates what I'm teaching you this morning. The power of the Holy Spirit. Without that power, let's just pretend that dam wasn't flowing. You throw it in a canoe. You're paddling on your own. How many's done that? Don't raise your hand. You don't want to paddle on your own. You don't want to live for Christ in your own strength. You don't want to witness for Christ in your own strength. I tell you, you get a boat right below that thing, for sure. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, I've read it every week for 4 weeks, but we need to read 12:7 again because it lists the charismatic gifts, the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Look at your neighbor and say, he's for you. Because the Holy Spirit is God. It's a he. It's not an it. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance, and we're reading from ESV this year. I'm going back to NIV, though. It's just my favorite, but I do this to just get me out of my box a little bit. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. King James says word of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge, the word of knowledge. We'll talk about that's what we're talking about today. According to the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit, church. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And we're going to have a healing service here soon. So I'm going to ask you to invite every sick person you know when I teach on the gift of healing. Start praying now for those that are going to get healed that day. Can I get an amen? Amen. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All those are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So let's talk about it for a few minutes this morning. Would you rather be a dead pond or a flowing reservoir? This gift is kind of, it's a little more challenging to define than some of the other gifts. There's not another single scripture that says anything about it. Now, there's a lot of illustrations. There's more illustrations than I can get to this morning. And I'm going to give you as many as time allows. But there's not another scripture other than this scripture that describes the word of knowledge. Now, I mean, there's tons of material dealing with the other gifts. I mean, from front to back. I mean, you can find so many gifts on scriptures on healing, on prophecy, on miracles, on tongues, interpretation of tongues. We looked at a ton of scripture when we taught that. But there's not that much scripture to find. And yet it is one of the nine spiritual gifts in the context of the text that we're reading. The word of knowledge, the root word in the original language, which in the New Testament was Greek, means to know. Not word of knowledge, to know. And it's a divine revelation. It's a revelation that comes from God. It's a revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit that reveals situations that have happened in the past and in the present. The word of wisdom, which we looked at last week, and usually, and I'm repeating myself on, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge will work together. It'll work along with prophecy. It'll work along with the distinguishing of spirits and a lot of the other gifts. But where the word of wisdom typically is the gift we use for the knowledge we have about the future. And I couldn't get to all the illustrations last week as we studied the word of wisdom. How many of you know the Lord is all-knowing? Jesus knows everything. Psalms 139, and I'm going to read quite a few verses. To the choir master, a psalm of David, O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. Whether y'all realized it when you came here this morning, the eyes of the Holy Spirit is searching you this morning. The eyes of God are looking at it, and he knows everything about us. You know, oh my goodness, you know when I sit down and when I rise up and when I go fishing. Oh, wait, that isn't in there. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Now, that's good, but somebody else go, Is my accent worse since I've been with my brother-in-law for a week? Can y'all understand a word I'm saying? I'm going to straighten up. It's going to take a week, though, to get my accent back to, it's all right? All right, y'all. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your, say it with me, spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If I make my bed in Sheol, don't go there, but you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall leave me and your right hand shall hold me. Aren't you glad that he knows us really though? And aren't you glad that he's with us everywhere we go? I'm so glad, and I don't have time this morning when I walked away from God for a season, like maybe some of you have this morning. You once knew the Lord or you're not where you need to be with God, and he's brought you back here this morning because you know where to be and who to know. And you know this morning, just like I know when I ran to Florida running from God, everywhere I turned, the Lord was there. I told the Connecting Point group this morning, everywhere. I got in the car with my new boss, and I was on the run. I figured if I could get away from my grandmother and my mother, I could live any way I wanted to, but when I got to Florida, their prayers were there waiting on me. God was still with me, even though I was lost. I get in the car, and my future boss spent 30 minutes telling me about Jesus. I went, I He knows us. He's with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. I was lost, though. But he was out to get me. First bar I walked in, and I had a bad life, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Sit down at the bar, and a stinking bartender talked to me about Jesus for 15 minutes while I was taking shots. You can't outrun God. I believe there's one or two here this morning running from God. I want you to know he's still here and he still loves you. Where were we? Oh, the Lord knows everything. You know, I've mentioned this before, and I don't know if your mother did, and it used to make me so mad because I began to fall away in high school and in college and then a little young adult, and my mother knew everything, everything. I'd get home, of course, late on the weekend, and Monday when I get back from school, she'd tell me everything I did the entire weekend, and she was right, and I denied every ounce of it. I mean, I lied. And she knew. And she told me, I said, how did you find out? Because I'd finally give in. She said, a little bird told me. I hated that little bird. Did any of your mothers have that little bird? The whole covey of them. The Lord knows everything. He's all-knowing, all-knowledgeable. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is so all-knowing, we will never be able to comprehend until, as the Scripture says, we're with him someday, and we will be as he is and see as he sees and know as he knows. But for now, he's all-knowing, and for people that are full of the Spirit, he's willing to give us fragments of that knowledge as the Spirit of God moves so that we can use that gift to minister to others. The Lord knows everything about me. The Lord knows all things. What I'm not talking about this morning is human knowledge. I'm talking about supernatural knowledge. So it's not just knowledge acquired over time. And again, like I did with the word of wisdom last week, I feel like I have to do with the word of knowledge. I had to tell you what it wasn't before I could teach you what it was. It's not just knowledge acquired over time. Although acquiring knowledge is a good thing, isn't it? School's a good thing. Learning. We all should become lifelong learners. I believe that with all my heart. It's not just scripture study. But I believe we should study the scripture every day. In fact, I'm of the belief that we can't get enough of this book right here. So we study scripture. We memorize scripture. It's not this word of knowledge is not divine revelation from the scripture. Now, when you're full of the Spirit, some of these scriptures will begin to jump off the pages for you. And you'll get revelation. You'll go, whoa, that's what that means. And it's wonderful. And we need all this kind of knowledge to grow in Christ. But none of this is what we're talking about this morning. It's a spiritual, supernatural gift given to Spirit-filled people as the Spirit wills to minister to others. It's a supernatural revelation, and God's not a respecter of persons. I keep saying that every week because this is not reserved for pastors or just people who've been in the faith for 30, 40 years. If you've been saved and filled, you can operate in these gifts as the Spirit wills at any moment. Even with the gifts, and I feel like I have to insert this, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit last year at this time on purpose. We plan our preaching schedules a year to 15 months out so that we can eat a balanced diet here at the church. And as we abide in Christ, Christ abides in us, and we bear fruit, peace, joy, love, kindness, patience, self-control, those things. And that speaks of a maturity process. As you walk with Christ and abide in Christ, you will bear more fruit of the Spirit. You don't need, but with the gifts, and I preach maturity because we need to grow in Christ. You don't even have to be that mature to operate in the gifts if you're Spirit-filled. You need to grow. You need to learn how to operate. All I'm saying is the Spirit of God may come up on one of you that was filled with the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago, and you may give a message in tongues with an interpretation. Give me an amen on that. So God wants to speak to us. God wants to show himself to us. We heard that in the prophetic word this morning. He wants us to come and see him revealed in our lives. He wants to speak. He wants to reveal. And he wants to reveal supernaturally. You see, when you're operating this gift, you will look at people sometimes. You may be praying, you may not be praying, and the Lord will show you things. He'll show you things. And again, I want to go back to when we talked about prophecy and the word of wisdom. Don't go down the judgment road. That's not a spiritual gift. Come on. I have the spiritual gift of judging everybody. No. Because when you begin to operate in this gift, sometimes I go, oh no, Lord, I wish you hadn't showed me that. It's a revelation that comes from God as you're ministering to somebody that you wouldn't know any other way. It wouldn't be because you knew the person. In fact, sometimes it's just complete strangers. It's not because somebody told you. It's not because they told you. It's not because you were listening in on their phone calls. No, God knows everything. God sees everything. God listens in on everything. And then sometimes through Spirit-filled people, he lets us see what has happened in their past or what is happening in there today so that we can minister to them. Is everybody with me? Because I'm teaching here this morning. The way it works for me a lot of times, and this isn't set pat, is when I begin to pray for people, the word of knowledge comes on me a lot of times. And when I begin to learn this about myself, this has been years ago, I would pray for people and they go, Pastor Dale, that was right on. How do you know? And for a while I didn't know. I just said, well, be blessed. But what I began to realize sometimes as I was praying for people, my words would begin to line up with something that was going on in their life, and I was praying specifically about things that happened in their life, and it dawned on me one day as I was studying the scriptures about the spiritual gifts, that's a word of knowledge in operation. That gives you divine revelation and the ability to see things in people in order to help them. Listen, when you're operating in these gifts, you may be shown some tough things about people, but the goal should always be redemptive. The goal should always be to help. The goal should always be to edify and exhort, even with this gift. Listen, Jesus this morning may be convicting you of your sin. Thank God for the conviction of sin. Thank God when we're misbehaving, the Spirit of God will come and say, you're wrong. You're out of line. You're living in sin. But the goal of Jesus Christ when he died at Calvary, went to the tomb and rose the third day was to identify your sin so that you would run to him in your sin and he would forgive you of your sin and you could live and live for life eternally. So as we operate in these gifts, it's always redemptive. The key storyline of the entire Bible is the redemption story of God reconciling himself to human beings like you and I. Sometimes it'll be an impression. It'll be a thought. And you will fight with this as you begin to learn to operate in it because you'll think, and I'm trying to be real practical. You'll go, that's just me. I'm just thinking that. What? Just stay with the Lord and test. A lot of times it's not you, it's the Lord giving you divine revelation. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? So when you approach a person, when God is showing you that kind of stuff about that person, I think we need to be careful. Why? Because we're not perfect. We're imperfect vessels. So when I'm operating in the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophetic word, but I'm talking about word of knowledge this morning, and I really feel strongly impressed that God is showing me something about that particular person, I will go up to him. I say a number of different things. A lot of times I won't play the God card on them. At other times I said, I feel like the Lord is impressing some things on me. I would like to share them with me, and you let me know. Are you with me? I feel like the Lord could be showing me this. I think that keeps everybody safe. The one that's operating in the gift and the one that's receiving on the other side of that gift. Because again, we don't use preaching or counseling or operating in the gifts or quoting scripture or anything we do to manipulate people's lives. We give them the word, and then they have to do something with it before the Lord. Can I get an amen? And I usually, especially if I'm operating in the prophetic gift, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, is I ask them, and you all saw me do this a couple weeks ago with prof, I ask them to test it. Now, when you're operating in it, and it happens, and it hits right away, 98 times out of 100 are going, yes, how did you know? Just to give a balance to, how did you know that? Well, you know, the Lord showed me. Let's read about the woman at the well. John chapter 4. You remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? And Jesus wasn't even supposed to be there, much less talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman. Jews didn't even talk to Samaritans. They'd walk around if they had to, and they certainly didn't talk to Samaritan women, but Jesus did. And so they're at the well, and they've been having this conversation for a while when we pick up here. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Because they had both come to get a drink of water. But whoever drinks of the water, Jesus is saying this, that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There we have it again. The woman said to him, sir, and I love this. This woman needed some hope. She said, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. This is more than about just water. It's about her empty soul and her empty spirit. And she said, sir, give me this water. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Now, we know Jesus is all-knowing, don't we? This is a Holy Spirit setup. The Holy Spirit will set you up. I'm using that term. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right in saying you have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Jesus didn't know this woman from anybody. I believe it illustrates the gift of the word of knowledge. Now, I know he was all God and God's all knowing. I know all that, but this is the way the word of knowledge operates. He come across a total stranger, and I like that, and y'all, some of y'all have heard this term, and he has a heart to love her that nobody else does. And Jesus does that, doesn't he? He loves us when nobody else will. But he's not going to let her live in her sin in this situation. He's been very kind, but he's been very straightforward. And the Holy Spirit has shown him that this lady has had five husbands, and the one she's living with now is not her husband. That's the way the word of knowledge operates. Here's the phrase I like to use. You're able to read people's mail. Everybody go. He read her mail. But there was a reason for it. Not just to make her feel bad and beat up. Jesus had a plan for her life. Just like Jesus has a plan for our life. This morning, Jesus is reading your mail. I don't know when we get to these altars if some of these folks operating the gifts will read your mail. I don't know. It just says the Spirit wills. But Jesus reads your mail, and he will do it through us. It's amazing as a pastor, so many times you know something's going on in somebody's world. You don't necessarily know what it is, but you know it's not good. And so you begin to pray for them, and you touch base with them, and you make sure they're okay. But this old saying that's been around a long time is so good. Whatever is revealed can be healed. Whatever is revealed can be healed. And that's exactly what happened to this woman. She goes, maybe I'll just be funny about it. What? I mean, you're a prophet. How did you know that, dude? I mean, you're a prophet. And then we read in John 4, 25 and 26, just a couple of verses. This is a little later. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Now watch this. First time, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. A Samaritan woman. Nobody was supposed to talk to. Jesus, some things are revealed to him. She says, you're a prophet. You don't know me. That had to come from God. Are y'all catching what I'm saying? That, you don't know me. That had to come from God. Later on, this lady, because Jesus said, I know the Messiah will come someday. Jesus took her to a higher revelation. Jesus hadn't done that yet up to that point. He said, I'm the Savior. I'm the Messiah. I am he. It says later that she took her water jar, she left it, she ran off to the village. The disciples are busy, they're so hungry. She goes and starts telling people about Jesus. She's got saved. They get saved. She brings a pile of them. And I believe when he said in that same chapter, they're hungry. Jesus said, look to the harvest for the fields are white. I believe the dust was kicking up from the dirty road walking out of that village. Is this new evangelist lady where God revealed her sin to us so he could heal her. Then she goes out and said, I've met the Messiah. I've met the Messiah, Savior. And you go read it. She said, I met a man that told me everything I ever did. And it says many, when they brought the men and women to Jesus, many more believed because of him as well. Whoa! That's the way the word of knowledge works. Some will be revealed so that you can be healed. Something, it may be tough, so that you will know that you know that you know that God has spoken to that person ministering to you so that you can be in the Messiah's arms. She became an evangelist. You see, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, will always be revealed through the word of knowledge. That gives people a chance and additional hope. I don't have time, so I'm skipping. 2 Kings 6, 8, and 12, we're not going there. That was Elisha and the king of Israel. Remember that one? And the Assyrian king, every plan he made, Elisha told the Israel king. It's a word of knowledge. And the Assyrian king says, asks his guys, how in the world, when I'm trying to ambush the Israelites, they're not there. And his servant said, the prophet is telling them, speaking to them, even in their bedroom. The king of Israel knew what the king of Assyria was going to do because of the operation of the word of knowledge coming through the prophet. Sometimes the word of knowledge will reveal hidden things and hidden agendas. When we're ministering to people, we need to be able to see that. It uses our mind, it uses our heart, it uses our spirit. But the best way I can explain it to you, it's a seeing in the spirit gift, and we'll talk about that in the discerning of spirits next week. It will also reveal the workings and the plans of the enemy. And that'll preach. I'm not going to preach it today. Look it up, read it later. Think about it. You remember when Saul lost his donkeys? Samuel shows up, said, hey, my translation, you'll have to look it up. You can look it up in 1 Samuel 9. He said, listen, Saul, don't worry about your donkeys. They've already been found. How did Samuel know that? He's operating in the word of knowledge. He knew something that had happened just a few days before. I knew a pastor friend of mine, said even when he was a youngster, a teenager, and he was at the grocery store somewhere, I don't remember exactly where he was at, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, your mother has had a bad car wreck today, but she's going to be okay. And so he gets home, and his dad meets him at the door. You know, you could tell his dad was wound kind of tight, and he said, son, I have something to tell you. And so he said, something's happened to mom while you're going to the grocery store. He says, I know, Dad. Said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said she had a car wreck, but she's going to be okay. And it was true. She had rolled her car 8 times, barely injured, and was going to be okay. That's the word of knowledge in operation. Sometimes it'll be used to uncover unrepentant sin in somebody's life so that you can repent. You know, if a stranger comes up and looks at you and the Spirit of God is moving through this Spirit-filled man or woman, and those are hard. You got to be careful. If you're seeing sin in a person's life, be careful, because you don't want to be wrong about that one, because that will beat that person up. But if you know it, yeah, and if you're right, you step out and say, well, I believe some of this stuff's going on in your life. A lot of times, what is revealed is healed. They'll repent. There will be a sweet brokenness that will come in their life, and they can be forgiven and restored. Just giving you, hallelujah, that's exactly right. Because the gifts should always be restorative and redemptive. Any of y'all know missionary Rick Ryan? He's coming back to our state, by the way, and he's spoken in our church. And I've known Rick for, gosh, probably 25 years, maybe longer. He was on the mission field in the Sudan. This has been 12 or 13 years ago now. And it's still not real safe to be in the Sudan, from what I understand. But they were in like mega civil war. I mean, there were 3 factions. They're killing people, raping innocent women and children. I mean, the whole thing, y'all read it in the news over the years, where they were traveling in the night. There were 10 or 12 of them. I don't remember exactly. And they got stopped on a dirt road somewhere in the middle of Sudan. And it was some of the army rebel guys. They got them out of, they were traveling in two or three vehicles. They got them out of their vehicles. They strip searched them. They began to interrogate them. And a lot of the, including the commander, spoke English. So a lot of people in the Sudan speak English. And the commander gave the order to line them up. They're going to execute them all. They're carrying. Rick was one of those. He can tell the story better than I can. If we have him, I'm going to try to get him to tell it in detail. So they line these 10 or 12 missionaries up. They put the guys with the machine guns over here, including the commander, right in the middle. And they're facing death in a matter of seconds in the middle of the Sudan, in the middle of the night. And the Spirit of the Lord begins to speak to Rick about the guy that was in charge. And right before they were getting to shoot him, Rick said, "Hey, hey, can I say one last thing before you kill us?" And he looked right at the commander. And the commander said, "Sure, before we execute you, you can speak." And the Lord had shown him, and I don't have all the details, but you'll get, the Lord had shown him as a little boy, he had been molested. As a little boy, his dad abandoned him when he was little. As a little boy, he lost his mother when he was 7 or 8, and he was hurt, and he was wounded, and he was angry. And Rick rolled out the word of knowledge on him for about a minute and a half, reading his mail to the letter, and the commander broke down and began to cry tears, and the missionaries led the rebels to Jesus Christ, plus got their life saved. We need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. People are dying out there. They're dying in their sin, dying in their heartache, dying in their ministry. And God is raising up a people born again, full of the Spirit, operating in the gifts and letting the river flow from inside our belly, the scripture says, like streams of living water to this lost and dying world. And we can't afford to keep it in the reservoir.